Om Shri Sai Ram, offering loving and playful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, who is ever present and reigning in our hearts. It is a great pleasure and an honor to announce to this August gathering here about a beautiful program that is about to begin today and continue for the next 2 days. The saga of integral education that Bhagwan had started decades back is reaching out to hundreds of rural schools across India. The Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program that Bhagwan had started on his 85th birthday is benefiting many, many schools through its well-defined, well-executed programs. Today, it is a great honor to announce the inauguration of the 4th annual convention of principals and management members of Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini schools. It is also a great pleasure to announce that this beautiful program, this beautiful inauguration, also marks the valediction of another beautiful program. We have the mission of integral education for all, by all. And as we reach out to many, many schools in the for all domain of the mission, we also reach out to many corporates and many partners and partner with them to take the concept of value education to as many schools as possible. That is the by all concept. Today marks the valediction of the first partnership conclave of the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program, where 4 very important partners of the program had congregated all through the day. There were wonderful deliberations about how to support the education system for holistic education. To inaugurate the program formally, I have the great honor of requesting our own Chakravarti Sir, the Member Secretary of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust Board of Trustees, and Professor Yoginder Verma, who is the chief guest for the inaugural function, to come and light the lamp. As part of the inaugural function, we have 192 members, principals and members of the management committee of Satya Sai schools across India who have congregated here for a 2-day satsang on how to deeply understand the concept of integral education and take it forward. to welcome all of you to this holy place, we can have no greater honor of inviting our own Chakravarti sir, the member secretary of the Central Trust. Sir has been an epitome of everything that we hold dear in the Sai organization. We have seen him as students, we have seen him as employees, we have seen him as a person always radiating energy and positivity. He was the first registrar of this university, having let go of a very progressive, very high-flying career in the Indian Administrative Services. He heard the beacon call of spirituality, of development of humankind that Bhagwan gave, and came and submitted himself completely to Bhagwan's mission. It's a great honor to invite Chakravarti sir to welcome and set the tone for this Principles Convention. Sri Chakravarti sir.
My prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. Welcome to all the delegates for this meeting. Special word of thanks to Professor Yogendra Verma, who has accepted our invitation to be the chief guest of this evening's function. My thanks are also due to Sri Kalyan Sundaram, who has kindly consented to stay behind after his meeting is over and to talk to us. It's more than 5 years since this program has been in full flow. There are more than 100 schools now who have come within the ambit of this program. They've all come a long way, but I feel that they have got a long, long way to go. These schools have been started by devotees at different points of time with the zeal which a good devotee of Bhagwan shows in a cause which is very dear to Bhagwan, namely education. Through this program, we are now trying to meet the needs of the training of teachers, and various workshops have been conducted under the auspices of Vidyavahini. Apart from sensitizing teachers, it's also necessary to have the management of the schools equally sensitized. An education program like integral education needs the attention and participation of the principals, the teachers, the students, and the parents also. In our country, education in school setup, or even in a college and university setup, has been confined to teaching of core subjects. And there has been a perception that schools and colleges and universities should confine themselves to secular education. It is Bhagwan's philosophy of education that has given us what he has made, it is called a man-making education. Human beings have body, mind and soul. If we confine our education up to the level of mind and leave out a very significant constituent of our existence, that education is incomplete. We not only have to be good in health, physical health and mental health, but we should also develop an awareness of something that drives us all. That is the groundswell of our existence itself. No education will be complete unless we understand the basic questions which Bhagwan has told us very often in his discourses, to understand and inquire as to where we come from, where do we go from here, what is the purpose of life, how should we conduct ourselves as human beings, and if we are the sparks of divinity, what effort should be there in order to uplift themselves from the levels of ordinary human beings to those who have been touched by divine within. It's a tall order. Such an education is not going to come easy. All of us will have to strive. And it is not going to be confined to the corridors of the schools and colleges. Such an education will go beyond the confines of schools and colleges. Such an education will be a lifelong education. It cannot be for 6 years or 12 years or 18 years. Of course, we do, for purposes of practical education, divide them into stages of school education and university education. But granted that education is a continuous process, there can be no artificial barriers to an education. And apart from education, which we come by listening to lectures and performing laboratory sessions, what is far more important for all of us will be the self-education. The education not only by ourselves, but also the education of the self itself. I do hope that in a couple of days to come, there'll be ample opportunities for the participants to know more about the various aspects of integral education, how to give a practical shape to it. It's one thing to know the philosophy of education. It is another to put it into practice, and a practice that will stand in good stead for the youngsters. And that will also enable them to be on their own throughout their life. I welcome you all once again and pray to Swami that your meetings tomorrow and after will enrich your understanding of integral education, and you will go back with a determination that in the years to come, will enable the children to practice integral education. In order to impart integral education to the children, it also becomes necessary that the teachers also take to integral education as a practitioner. I do hope that the combined effort of the teachers, of the principals, of the management of the schools, of the parents, all together will enable us to deliver in practical terms the integral education which has been given to us by Bhagwan himself. Welcome you all once again and wishing you Godspeed. Thank you. Sai Ram.
We trouble Chakravarti sir once again for the pleasant duty of handing over the mementos to our three partners who are here with us. We call upon Mr. Kalyan Sundaram, who is the director of Digital Deloitte, to come and receive the mementos from Mr. Chakravarti. We also call upon Sri Vijay Kumar of TCS. Tata Consultancy Services has been one of the best, one of the greatest supports for the Vidyavani program since its inception. And I invite Mrs. Archana Raghuram, who is the Global Head of Cognizant Employee-Led Initiatives Program or Outreach. Thank you, Chakravarti sir. The mementos that were given are symbolic of the hands that are being held to pull each other higher and higher towards the goal of a wonderful India, a wonderful world where every child has access to holistic education. To reach that unreachable star, we need to work with one another in synergy, in seamless synergy. Taking forward the partnership program has been a great energizing experience. We get to meet such wonderful like-minded individuals across India who are doing passionate work in various fields. Today we have the good fortune of listening to two such eminent speakers. Both, in some way or the other, are great motivators for their own employees who have worked incessantly in their own ways to make this society a better place. I will first call upon Archana Raghuram ma'am to come and speak to us, and after that I will call upon Sri Kalyan Sundaram of Deloitte Digital. The first speaker, Mrs. Archana Raghuram, is the Global Head of Cognizant's Employee-Led Social Initiatives Program, or the Outreach. She has been in Cognizant for more than 20 years, and having achieved great success, moved from project management to lead the outreach program during its inception. We had the good fortune of hearing her speak at the conclave today, and were greatly impressed by the deep insights and the deep passion that she displays for the field of volunteerism. We look forward to listening to her enlightening words. The second speaker would be Mr. Kalyan Sundaram, who is the Managing Director of Deloitte Digital. It is his 11th year in Deloitte, prior to which he has had a very illustrious career with IBM in New York. He is an engineer and a graduate, a postgraduate, an MBA from the Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore. We had the good fortune of listening to him too in the conclave today. The command with which he speaks about volunteerism, the clarity of ideas which he communicates is reflective of the deep involvement in the programs that he leads. The proactive nature of his involvement in the Vidyavahini program is something that we salute. I now call upon Archana ma'am to come and be the first speaker, followed by Kalyan Sundaram sir.
Hari Om and Sai Ram to all of you. It's indeed a privilege to speak here in this gathering where so many great people have stood and spoken. So I will humbly accept this honor which you have given me and talk to you a few words about our partnership. You know, Cognizant Sri Satya Sai Vidyavahini Partnership Program. Before that, I would like to talk to you a little bit about Cognizant's outreach program, Cognizant's volunteering program. We launched this program close to 10 years back. We launched this program in November 2007. And the idea of the program was to give a platform for Cognizant associates who are interested in volunteering, who are interested in giving back to the society, an ability to do so effectively. Just, I think there is lot of similarities between our program and what happens here. Like whenever I come to Puttaparthi, I'm impressed. I'm really amazed by how volunteers run and manage such a huge organization and so seamlessly and with so much passion. So that's the kind of volunteering we want to replicate in our organization too. So when we launched the program, When we launched the program, we had one goal. No volunteer left behind. That is, our goal was never to make everybody in the organization to volunteer. But whoever was interested in volunteering, whoever wanted to volunteer should have an opportunity to do so, should not be left behind. We should be able to provide them with meaningful opportunities. So today, after 9 years, we have like more than 100,000 Cognizant associates have volunteered for outreach. We have clocked 17 lakhs volunteering hours. We have volunteering programs in 22 countries across the globe. When we started the program, we decided to focus on education because that's an area where all our associates have expertise. Most of us are where we are because of the education we received, and we thought that's an area where we can make a tangible difference. So we started partnering with the underprivileged schools in the neighborhoods of our offices, and our volunteers were regularly teaching and doing good work in the school. An interesting observation I had is when we began the volunteering program, most of the schools wanted infrastructure only, like set up labs for us, build our classrooms, level our playgrounds. So the first year of outreach, we pretty much spent in building the infrastructure. But during the first year, another amazing thing also happened. In one of the first schools that we partnered with, their 12th standard students were facing their first computer science exam, and they had no computer science teacher and no computer science lab. So we set up the lab, and every week our volunteers used to go and teach computer science to the students of 12th standard. So this was entirely done by volunteers, and in the board exam, we got 100% pass in this subject. Whereas the overall pass percentage was only 61%. So after that, you know, there was a paradigm shift even among the principals and teachers of the schools. Now, people don't ask us to build classrooms and labs. They said, call your volunteers and get them to interact with the students, get them to teach the students. So that's how now we have on an average 93 classroom sessions every week happen in the schools. And consistently we have seen improvement in the pass percentage, learning level, levels. Year on year, we have seen that improvement. So as we delve deeper into the schools that we work with, today we work with 140 schools across India. As we delve deeper into the schools, we decided we should have a goal for our schools too. So we have a vision for the schools that we work with. We call it 100 to the power of 4. In the 100 schools that we work with, we want to achieve 100% pass, 100% graduation, and 100% employability. So we direct all our volunteering efforts and all our investments in this direction. And I think the beauty of the program is it is entirely, almost entirely run by volunteers. Like they are 90% of our schools are recommended by our volunteers, and they own it, and they drive the whole volunteering program forward. So we have had wonderful experiences with how this program has been panning out, and at a very opportune moment, we got to see the Vidyavahini framework, the IIEP 4C framework, and we found that it's such a perfect model for giving guidance to volunteers, people who have, who have to do work in schools. We all the time talk about providing holistic education, but that's such an abstract phase. Nobody really defines what holistic education is all about. And I think Vidyavahini framework has done such a wonderful job of defining it in concrete terms so that people can understand, they know it's actionable, you know. When you talk about holistic education, everybody has different interpretations of it. But when you look at this framework, each of it is actionable. You look at it and you know what you're supposed to do and whether or not you're doing holistic work. And that is the beauty of the framework. So when we saw it, we loved it from the very first instant. And we have adopted this framework for reporting the work that we do. So now, we have come up with a measurement system over the framework. Like, if you have 7 cells, I don't know how many of you have seen the IIEP 4C framework, but we've come up with a measurement system and a reward mechanism based on how well the interventions are happening. So out of 140 schools, now nearly 100 schools have adopted the framework and are implementing it to drive their volunteering program. Over and about that, we have selected 10 schools where we want to implement every aspect of the Vidyavahini program, like the content and the teacher training. So even that that is going on, and with blessings of Swami, we hope it will be as successful or even more successful than our 9-year journey so far. So I don't have very much to add. See, what I have learned through these 9 years of volunteering is what when volunteers do this without any expectation of payment, you know, so what they get, what is it that they bring to the table? It's their passion, you know. They give their heart and soul for the work that they do. And that is invaluable. That's why even if we have to pay the volunteers, it would be impossible. Because the kind of commitment and the kind of passion that they bring to the table, that's something which has to be seen to be experienced. So I hope all the principals here and all the teachers here get to see that, you know. Often we look at, you know, how much funding that can come to our schools, but this is something priceless and invaluable that is being brought to the schools, and I hope you experience it and you will be able to share many such stories. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Om Shri Sai Ram. My humble salutations, the lotus feet of Bhagavan. It's indeed an honor for me to be here in this hall, and this is my first opportunity to actually speak in this hall. In fact, when I was reflecting on sitting next to Chakravarti sir, I was thinking how many years I've come here and after how many years I've got this chance to speak. In fact, my son has actually preceded me in this. He has spoken before Bhagwan before. So, thank you for the opportunity. The The concept of integral education was looked at as the fundamental element in the human transformation journey by Bhagavan long years ago. He identified that this is the way the fundamental change has to be brought in our society. It's not going to be an easy mission. It is going to be a mission which is going to have its ups and downs, but most important, when it is holistic objective is realized, you will have an inclusive society. You will have an inclusive society which undergoes this transformation through the education process. And that mission is fundamentally covered by Vidyavahini, and I am honored to be associated with it. My mission today is to speak about the learnings and takeaways from today's conclave. And before that, a quick few words about our organization and what we do and how we got linked up in this through this wonderful partnership with Vidyavahini. Deloitte, if you talk to any ordinary bystander, they will say, oh, it's an audit firm. Yes, it is an audit firm, but it's more than an audit firm. We have other businesses as well. And in fact, the chief volunteer in this program is actually from the practice of tax, and I am from the practice of IT, or consulting, as I would like to call. But more than anything else, I just wanted to say Deloitte brings in a fundamental belief in volunteering a working day each year for the entire Deloitte workforce will dedicate it to the communities, local communities all over the world. And it happens at various times in various places, but this has been a commitment which has been going on for many, many years. We began this journey in 2003 in India, and since then, for the last 13 years or so, we have completed over 800,000 hours of community service, and over 800,000 lives have been touched through this program. While the numbers themselves don't tell the story, because many of these programs have now gone on to not once a year, but all through the year, thanks to the spirit of volunteerism. And when I say volunteerism, it is in today's world, how do you get the buy-in? How do you get the commitment? How do you prolong it for the longer term? That was actually indeed the first theme of our partner conclave today. And we had a very interesting discussion on whether we should really push the needle as far as getting these numbers up, or how do we really achieve these targets, and what are the few things which can really help to convert these volunteers to long-term agents in transformation journey of Bhagavan, which we had talked about. So very quickly, some of the takeaways were, first we identify the hurdles which actually comes in the way of continuous volunteerism. Because when you volunteer, which necessarily means that you submit to the effort on your own volition, it is fundamental in nature that you got to do it on your own rather than anybody else pushing. But rarely that happens, actually. There has to be a kindle somewhere. I mean, for every one of these journeys, if you really look, there's always a spark in the journey somewhere. Somebody told something, somebody else did this. And this spark sometimes is so self-motivated for only a very few people. For the majority of us, that spark comes from somebody else. And I think we should talk about the majority rather than the minority. So the majority of us belong to that tribe where the spark has to come from elsewhere. And what else quenches that spark? What else pulls that spark away? I think we identified three things which quenches this fire. Basically, life events in the lives of people, because, you know, you get married, you get placed in somewhere. Today you are a volunteer here. in Puttaparthi, but tomorrow you get placed in a hospital, for example, from an MBA school here to an hospital somewhere in, let's say, Nairobi. Your volunteerism will be, the spirit of it will be different, and your circumstances will be different, and hence will taper off, or might actually increase as well. But these life events actually affect people, and that is something which we identified as number one reason. The number two reason was people's priorities change. Today it looks like I have a lot of time, but tomorrow, you know, my priorities change. I want to go get this diploma. I want to go get this bodybuilding activity done, or I want to go learn something else, or some other thing actually comes in the way. So people's priorities actually change as well, and that comes in the way of volunteerism as well. And the third aspect we said is that when we look at volunteerism, you know, you expect a certain amount of spirit to be coming on your own or pushed, and at that time the spark has to ignite. But many of the tribe, actually what really people fear is, oh, the fear of unknown. I don't know how much time I have to commit. I don't know what is the depth to which this has to go. Will it affect my family life? Will it affect my fundamental purpose of life? For example, my fundamental purpose of studying here is to earn a diploma. If that is going to be affected, you know, I am going to be held responsible. Any other volunteerism cannot come at the compromise of that. So those are the reasons which we looked. And we looked at how we can address some of this through a tangible measure. We looked at some of these tangible measures. Planning is going to be one of the most important activity. You tell people how much time you can commit and what is going to be the output. The second thing which you can do is to get a buy-in. What is in it for you? Most of us actually commit to volunteerism if we take away from this what is going to be the tangible output out of this. If the content I'm developing for Vidyavani is going to touch, let's say, 1,000 people today, 10,000 people tomorrow, and, you know, 50,000 students tomorrow, then you will have a measure of impact. So this measure of impact really gives you the chance to really see the magic of your work. And that brings the fire in you to really say that I can go commit, do things. Third thing we said is celebrate the success, because success indeed is going to be the prime setter in terms of example for others to look at. When you see success, what really happens now? You saw the outcome of tangible outcome before people. Obviously, you know, they really see value. When Archana Madam talked about the computer science class and see the 100% output, you see that is an output which people saw, and naturally everything else comes out of it. People really get thrilled by that. So celebrate the success. Go tell your stories that this is what really can come out of this. And these are some of the measures we felt that, you know, you can rein in. I mean, we have discussed other measures, but I'm just, for sake of brevity of time, I'm just putting three in each of them. So we looked at, these are the three, four things which leaders, as responsible leaders, we can do to really kindle the spirit of volunteerism and keep it going for the longer term in terms of productive output. That was the first part of the conclave. The second part of the conclave was, as partners in this journey of progressing from one stage to another, how do we really accomplish several larger objectives through this partnership model? And the first of the factor which we examine is that each of these entities as corporate entities in this partnership have got different objectives, but how do we bring in a commonality of purpose? The answer is very simple. The commonality of purpose is already defined by Bhagwan, so we don't have to do much actually. Bhagavan has already defined that the fundamental transformation required in the human minds is going to be through education, is something which he has already defined and gone. I mean, so I don't think we have to do much of homework there. So the commonality of purpose, the binding force behind us, is helping us, independent of what our objectives, our methods, our process, our way of uniting, our way of doing things. Everything can be different, but this fundamental process really is getting things done. I think that's the biggest learning for us. The second thing which we took away from the second half of the partner conclave is we as partners can also learn from each other. We have our own ways of doing things. We have our own ways of, achieving. So, this is a fantastic measure. We have taken it from Japan. We have taken it from US, et cetera, et cetera. But fundamentally, when we have adopted so much to India and seen its work being actually happening domestically, we can learn from each other as well. And that is another good takeaway for us from Partnership Conclave, that we can learn from each other and enrich our experience as far as bringing that learnings into effect, what we have already seen in our domestic ground, because we can see it happening here, and one success is going to breed into another, and we can pick on these learnings. The third thing is multiplier effect. How do you really do this multiplier effect? This great mission of Vidyavani with the 2020 mission, where 95th birthday of Bhagwan, we are interested in getting 950 schools touched by Vidyavani. It's a very big game, and certain percentage of this have to be lighthouse schools as well. And that, I think, is a bigger, tougher goal to pass as well. So given these objectives, given these, high bar as far as the goals are concerned, how do we really push the needle from a partnership perspective? And also, kind of pick on this to really draw upon each other and really learn from this experience. So a lot of discussion was on that. And the conclusion was that in terms of effort, I think, we all can bring the numbers, we all can bring the zeal which is required, but at the same time, the driving force behind all this, the thinking force behind this is sitting here from the Vidyavagini organization. Let's make them stronger. Let's make them perform Bhagwan's mission. And as often Bhagwan has said, the seva mentality, or the right to seva, which is there in the fundamental vision of this Vidyavani program, is something which we have to sustain through a variety of measures. Let's make them stronger. And let's remember Bhagwan's final, thought, which I wanted to put across, is when you do Manava Seva, it is actually Madhava Seva, he used to say often. And this is the easiest method through which you are going to touch people in terms of transformation journey. So all the corporates, or more corporates might come in as partners in the future years. Their model, their vision, their alignment will be coinciding with the vision and the mission of Vidyavani program. And I think that will drive everything else in this Bhagwan's mission. I think the rest we will leave it to him, because I'm pretty sure this will get accomplished. Not only with this, but it will also get accomplished beyond these goals. Let's work towards the 2020 goal and make this a grand success. Om Sai Ram.
Thank you, Archana ma'am and Kalyan Sundaram sir, for a very uplifting presentation about the day that we have spent. However much we present the summary, the joy of the actual event of having gone through the deliberations, intense deliberations on volunteerism, was something that was indescribable. We thank you, Swami, for having given us this opportunity to work with such inspired people. And we pray to you, Swami, that this kind of inspiration continues to come together, continues to form a conglomeration of partners, a beautiful synergistic entity that supports many, many schools in the years to come. But the most important role in the Vidyavahini scheme of things is that of our own Sri Sathya Sai schools. Because the role models that we are looking for, the lighthouse schools that we are looking for, will come from among many of these Sathya Sai schools. And the principals and the members of the management are here today to eagerly listen to the chief guest of our inaugural function. It is my great privilege to introduce Professor Dr. Yoginder Verma, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor of the Central University of Himachal Pradesh. He served Central University of Himachal in various capacities, including, among others, the officiating Vice Chancellor and the Pro Vice Chancellor of the university. Professor Verma headed the UGC Academic Staff College of Himachal Pradesh University as director for 20 long years. During his tenure as a director, he trained and interacted with more than 19,000 teachers of colleges and universities across the country. So he surely is one person that we should all be very eager to be listening to. He has been the director of the Institute of Integrated Himalayan Studies, which is a UGC center of excellence. I was fascinated when he explained the concept of the Institute of Integrated Himalayan Studies, of how he constituted a center that would study the Himalayas not merely for its geographical beauty, but for its socio-economic areas, its psychological areas, its spiritual areas, and do a complete integrated study of the Himalayan ranges. Besides this, he has held positions as the director of the IAS Coaching Center and the director of the University College of Business Studies in Himachal Pradesh University. He has produced 11 PhD students. His areas of interest are value-based management, human resource development, organizational development, and educational management. He is on the advisory board of about half a dozen journals. Over and about all these hoary accomplishments of Professor Verma, what endears him to all of us is his simplicity, his humility, his sense of being there for any support. He has been a sevadal at Bhagwan's lotus feet for more than a quarter of a century. He has coordinated the seva activities of Himachal Pradesh for many, many years. But more importantly, dear teachers, dear principals, dear members of the management, he also is the founder, the chairman of one of the most beautiful schools in Himachal Pradesh, in Dharmashala, that I visited. He knows the ins and out. He knows the challenges that you all face. He knows the struggle of setting up a free school. He knows the struggle of institutionalizing processes in a rural school. He knows the struggle of training children who come from first generation learners. He knows that not only as the head of an institution, but personally too. He himself was a first generation learner. His father inspired him, though he was an illiterate, his father inspired him with his hoary and his soaring personality. And from being a first generation learner, he went on to get the gold medal in BCom in the University of Himachal Pradesh. So that is the person who's going to be speaking to us as the chief guest of this inaugural function. It's my great honor and privilege to introduce Professor Yoginder Singh Verma. Professor Verma. Millions of pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba and Sai Ram to all of you. Respected Chakravarti Ji, members of Central Trust, eminent educationists sitting here, Shri Satyajit Ji and his team of Shri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini, management, partners, and principals of different schools who have volunteered to adopt Vidya Vahini program. It is indeed a great fortune to be speaking here. I have completed 27-year journey and Swami has given me this privilege to speak through me today to all of you. It is indeed a great fortune, I take it. Particularly, when I visited this institution with a curiosity, how this system is different. Groomed in a system of education which proudly talk about the secularism, which proudly talks about democratic education. And when I came here along with a group of professors and try to see how the education is being imparted, just one sentence of Bhagwan Baba on his 65th birthday, he said, politics and education do not mix. And that changed my perspective. At that time, I was president of Teacher Association and very aggressive. I learned what education is. Bhagwan, over a period of years, provided me opportunity to be the member of National Assessment Accreditation of first round, then Conference of Eminent Educationists, then Vice Chancellor's Conference on Value Education. Swami, you prepared me for speaking today. Now I realize. Actually, I have not prepared any speech. I left both hands to Swami. Swami, now you take over. And actually thought that how this system is different. Sri Satya Sai's system of education, how it is different. The first point which comes to mind is, this system has to be different because this has been given by Purna Avatar of Kali Yuga, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So it has to be different. It is different. That type of faith, that type of confidence, all of us have to have. No avatar has given any system of education, no Krishna system of education, no Rama system of education. It is only Sri Satya Sai system of education for the emancipation of the humanity, for the welfare of the human being, for the welfare of whole universe. Those who have been taught directly by Bhagwan, instructing, directing, sowed a seed at Prashanti Nilayam, developed into a plant,
And now a tree of Sri Sathya Sai education system which is spreading over all the continents of the world. No one can do except Bhagwan. It's unique because its roots are positioned in the spirituality. No education talks about that. Not in a religion, but in spirituality. Bhagwan saves every one of us from time to time. You are the spark of divine. You are divine. Oh, only God can say that. You are divine. I can't afford to say what I am. I can't say you are like this. No, only Bhagwan can say. That is its uniqueness. Every being is spark of divine, and the job of education is self-realization, from self-confidence to self-realization, that you are divine. He gave education which makes a complete man, complete person. You see, in the world we see, I see myself not as a complete man. Because we are engaged in worldly education. Degrees. BA degree, Swami talks about BAD is bad. MAD is mad. MSc. You know, how MSc? You are not a master of senses. Be master of senses. Education for complete man, where mind, body and atma are integrated. Integral education, integration of this. Perhaps we don't see in any system. Government of India does talk about value education, but those values are superfluous. You know, workshops are arranged, discussions are held. What is truth? And ultimately, it ends up with the understanding, your truth is yours, my truth is mine. There is no consensus. What is truth? Here you get that definition. Here you get that understanding. I was attending partners' conclave and I found how much enthusiasm, how much commitment the partners have, how much commitment the whole team has. It spread from individual to the society, VST to Samashti. This only Bhagwan can give. Another unique thing which I observe, and Bhagwan has been telling, education is the birthright of every person. What a great concept. Birthright of every person. Then why we are charging? And we are living in the present era where we are paying not lakhs, but getting a medical seat, you are paying crores. So a person who gets master's degree in medical or bachelor degree in medical science, what he is going to do? Only stealing kidneys and brains and different organs of human beings. Bhagwan said, no, every individual has got a right of education. So provide free education. Free education. And he has given this model and people don't believe. Many times when you talk to people that it is happening like this in Prashanti Nilayam, people say, no, it's not possible, you don't know, a lot of money is coming from A country, B country, C country. Actually, seeing is believing. Bhagwan talked about education is not only for living, but for life. Only for living. It doesn't mean that it's not for living. He said, it is for living also, but remember, it is for life. You are to earn livelihood for realizing the goal of your life, the purpose of life. It is purposeful. You require employment. You require positions so that you can carry the message of Bhagwan, you can carry the message of holistic education. Bhagwan talked about a very different concept. Education A child goes to the school, gets matriculation, plus two, graduation, post-graduation. He doesn't know what is happening in the society, what is happening in the community. It is not participative. What a wonderful concept of Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini. We are the concept of partnership. I was really enchanted. You see, we have been studying Bhagwan, we have been seeing education institutions, we have been seeing the working. But the manner, the framework which has been developed by Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini, that is really unique. A model which is workable. The deliverables which they have, when Brother Sri Satyajiji was showing me, I was saying, yes, yes, it is like this. It should be like this. Deliverables. And I'm sure all of you who have come from different parts of the country as management, as principals, as teachers, you must have seen a transformation in your school. My dear inspired souls, it is true, Bhagwan said that end of education is character. You have chosen the path which is very easy, but at the same time very difficult. How it is easy and how it is difficult? It is easy if you have unflinchable, unshakable faith in Bhagwan. If you have that faith that, okay, Bhagwan is with me. What I am thinking, what I am doing, He is there to support me. He is there to nurture. Look at the models which Swami has given to the humanity, whether it is medical institute or it is education or it is water project. I think these are enough to build confidence in us. All of you who have come to Prashanthi Nilayam for training program, I see that there is lot of opportunity for you, for your real sadhana. I firmly believe there is no need to go to the temple or to do rituals. But take it as your sadhana. You have a challenge. And lot of challenge. Vidya Vahini will be helping you, giving you tools, giving you contents, training you. But what I see, there is a great challenge, there is a great opportunity as well. The foremost challenge is, the plant which has been grown in nursery, now you are carrying that plant to the world. You are carrying that to the society, which is full of diversity. Region, religion, caste, and then complexities of the world. That's very important. So really, how you are going to attract people, how to enter in the hearts of people, that is a challenge. And I'm sure that challenge can be met if you have faith in the source. Who is the source? Our source is God. He is the Gangotri. Resources will flow if you have full faith in the source. I can share with you a small example of Sai Educare Vidya Pratishthan, a small school in the mountain of Himachal Pradesh at Dharamshala. The school which was started by a group of inspired youth who came to Prashanthi Nilayam and said that, yes, Bhagwan is with us. He will help us. And when they went to the village, found villagers are very poor. All of them belong to dual tribes, dual castes, economically very downtrodden. What help we can do? We can start some slice center. We can start some teaching, the ladies, stitching, sewing, etc. But then they observe, they are small children. They have been withdrawn from the school because families cannot afford schooling. Rather, they will prefer their children go for labor and earn some money. And these young people, they decided to start a school. No resources, but there was a source. Bhagwan was the source. With that faith, they started in a mud school with about 15 students. And now today they have 180 students. And totally free education. And following Bhagwan's principle to 100%. Not calling any donation. Not asking anyone can come and contribute. But whosoever goes to that school will be wonderstruck. Children who are from first generation learners, children whose parents, you know, in the evening the father will drink and come and beat the mother, living in a small room, 10 persons, do not have means for livelihood, what to talk about education? And when these children were taken to the school, and these young people decided we will even help them, provide them toiletries, would provide them help, even in the family. There is no surprise. This school has never had any problem of finance. I remember when about 30 people were sitting together and some people from the corporate world started saying, you know, we can have this strategy, we can have a Akshapatra strategy, we can have that strategy where we can get money. But then one young man stood up and said, sir, sorry, we are not talking about money, we are talking about the project. Because Bhagwan said that for my program there is no shortage of funds, there is no shortage of facilities. And that is how, and we have seen the progress of this school, that their academic, as far as their academic achievement is concerned, they have 100% result and most of them are getting first class. In cultural program, even in the state, you know, these children, they are coming first in the group dance or they are coming, getting positions in debate and yoga. What I am trying to say is that all of us have to have faith in the source. And I am sure the target of hiring 950 schools is not bigger. I am sure we will cross that. For getting our realization, because I think for all of you and for all of us, the salvation lies in taking this program to the conclusive end. And for that, we have to develop, we have to become quality instruments. Bhagwan used to say, quality teachers plus quality students is quality nation. That's a nation. So here you have to be quality instruments. And those who are in management, those who are teachers, those who are principals, partners, if they do not improve themselves, if they don't transform themselves, well, then you will not be able to have the education which we are talking about, Sri Satya Sai system of education. You have to develop a passion. Because, you know, Bhagwan can be achieved by the passion. Pagalpan. Thoda sa pagalpan bahut zaruri hai. Like Mira's pagalpan, you may say, Surdas pagalpan. That passion has to be there. Okay, it will be done. Because I remember when this program started there, the school started, there was no land, and in the mud house we started, and then we called the architect, because the owner of that mud house said, okay, I can give you this land, you can construct here. So we were very enthusiastic, called an architect, and did Bhumi Pujan. And then we asked, you know, what is the estimate? And he said about 30 lakhs. Then one of the devotees, he asked this gentleman, how much money you have got? He said, I don't have money, but we have Swami. And now that building, of course, is complete. And now the school has got some more land and they're going to construct a other building with hostel. So what I'm trying to say is that develop yourself as a quality instrument with a passion. Positivity. Now, you should be positive. This will be done. You see, whenever you are taking a good work, remember, you must have seen, I'm sure, you will be criticized. And Bhagwan used to say, if you are criticized, feel important. You are important if you are criticized. You are doing something good. Go ahead. Don't bother, you know, what people say, what people talk about. Positivity. Develop purity. Bhagwan used to talk about three P's. Develop purity. And this purity will come with sadhana. Let me tell you, you are on the way of sadhana. You are on the way to sadhana. Sadhana, surrender, sacrifice. That is the real sadhana. Please develop this. You have to develop the worldly skills also. Because, you know, we are not going to create saints. We are going to create those personalities who are fully developed, who are academically grown up, who are socially adaptable, who are emotionally stable, who are spiritually enlightened persons. So remember, you have that responsibility. So you have to have purity of heart. Do that sadhana. I'm not talking about you only, I mean we. We have to do that sadhana. Friends, we have to develop skills. Now, one problem which I was discussing in the partners meeting also, if you are focusing at the deprived section, if you are focusing at first generation learners, then you have a challenge. Greatest challenge is, now these children, will they be going to the higher education or technical education? Or after matriculation, they will be like any other child because they will be having second division or they may not be able to compete to get seats in the medical college or engineering college. They can't pay donation. And you know the position of donation. So naturally, a question comes, and that we faced in that school. When three batches have gone, where the children are, we said we must follow them. We must get them admitted in a good school. But one gap which we were feeling, that well, the children have not been given skills which should be given. Even let me share with you, Government of India has vocational education, but that is for plus two children, matriculates, so BVoc courses, community colleges, but not attending to the need of school children. You find that many students who are coming from villages, from the families, from the traditional skill families, like son of a carpenter, son of a goldsmith, or some artisan, they are carrying some skills with them. A son of farmer, farming, dairying, they are carrying some skills. But by giving education, we are making them to unlearn those skills. I think if we have some program here, and all of us can do that, hone their skills also and make them educated. If you are a carpenter, you are a very good carpenter. Low level skills. One thing which Swami has done here, which all of us have to take in our schools, self-reliant skills. Self-reliance. That every child in Swami's education institution is self-reliant. I know my daughter studied here. She is a very good doctor. Actually, she was associated with the dispensary. So whenever I have a problem, I will give her a call. What medicine should I take? Similarly, the small things, how to repair electricity, how to do plumbing job, how to clean, that is also a skill. Everyone cannot clean. So, my dear enlightened souls, other challenge is accessibility to underprivileged in different parts of the country. Underprivileged. One gentleman was telling me, where are the poor? Where are the poor? Because they have never had opportunity or exposure going to the villages. Never had this opportunity, because the gentleman I am giving example, they went to a village where you have to walk for 4 hours. Children don't have accessibility of a high school. After middle, they don't get any education. So decided to take about 27 students from there, brought in the dormitory, living there. And one very important aspect in the education is partnership, which I was hinting at. Bhagwan Bhava has given education with partnership of all the segments, that is parents, community, teachers, students, institutions, industry, all those who require education, they are party to the education, they have to work in partnership. And one very interesting model has emerged. You know, these children living in the dormitory, who is going to cook for them? You have to have a cook, you have to hire a cook. Decided not, you know, we can't afford a cook. So, ladies from the village, who children are studying there, they will come by rotation, cook there. Children will wash their own utensils. Teachers will work together. And because this school is in the interior, there is no road. So villagers came, some villagers well-to-do started saying, sir, you are providing free education. Take some fee. We decided we will not take a fee. But we told them, please improve yourself. Change your habits of drinking. Develop your own village. You require a road, ambulance road. We will help you. So students, teachers, management, and then villagers started constructing the road. And there is, you know, very high rain rate. So in every rainy season, that road will be taken away. But then, you see, hausle buland rehte hain. So these people will start immediately, and within 15 days, the road will be again constructed. So that participation, that's very important. So reaching the inaccessible, I think that is a challenge for all of us. Another challenge which I see is that we have to understand this whole framework. In fact, when Brother Satyajit was telling me and showing me how they are combining 4 C's which Bhagwan has given, classroom, corridors, campus, community, and then the other dimension that is insightful, inspiring, enjoyable, participative, really it is wonderful model. But then all of you, I'm sure during this training program, you will be exposed to these all things. Please learn it, imbibe it, and see. Because everything may not be done in the same manner as it is conceived here. You have to see your own situation, location, and please do that. Use of ICT. We are living in the world which is very facilitating, actually, if you see. IT is giving us lot of knowledge, lot of information. And here, Vidyavahini is doing a lot in that direction. So sitting in your place, well, you can download lessons. You can download lot of material, video. And I'm sure video conferencing also. That will be when we are talking about lighthouse schools, these all things will emerge. But the challenge here is that you have to be careful how the students, how the even teachers, they are using technology. Along with the technology, I would request you that teachers, the students must be taken to the nature. Because in many schools, you see, students don't get any exposure to the nature. Take them to the stream, take them to the tree, take them to the jungle, take them to the animals, and let them learn from the nature, as Bhagwani used to say. I think that's another challenge which we have to. One very important dimension of the whole education, as Bhagwan has already been telling us, parents are very important partners in the education. Parents in partnership with teachers, in most of the educational institutions, we don't find this type of partnership. So parents and teachers, they must come together. And I'm sure when you are here in 2 days, you will be exposed to a number of these techniques and the challenges which I am telling you. But I'm sure with Bhagwan's grace, with Bhagwan's inspiration, we will be able to realize the true purpose of education with these. Thank you very much. I have taken more time. Thank you. Thank you.
Om Shri Sai Ram. What a way to begin the Principal's Convention. To have had the opportunity of hearing someone speak straight from the heart, of someone who has given the controls of this puppet body to the divine hands. What we saw today was the master puppetry of the Divine Master. What we saw today was a flute made so beautifully hollow that the voice of the Divine Master, that the breath of the Divine Master came through as melodious music to all of us. Thank you, Professor Verma, for this wonderful introduction to the Principal's Convention. Dear principals, dear members of the management of schools across India, we look forward to 2 wonderful days with all of you. We look forward to a co-creation with you of a framework for growth mindset, the mindset that is required, that is essential, that is present in all of us to grow, to visualize growth, to ensure that the growth is seen in every child, in every teacher, in every principal, in every member of the management, in the entire school, in the entire school community ecosystem. That growth mindset will be the first topic that we will discuss tomorrow. But before delving into the topic, we will have the pleasure of listening to another Professor Verma tomorrow. I was sitting there and reflecting that Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini SSS VV has got transformed to 2 Vermas, VV standing for Verma and Verma. Professor Verma is the Vice Chancellor of our university. He will be the keynote speaker tomorrow at the institute campus, at the venue. We will also be exploring the Vidyavani framework in depth. We will understand the philosophy of integral education as in its original form, in the form that it is practiced here in the university, by our own registrar of the university, Dr. Naren Ramji. He will be speaking to us tomorrow. We will also be delving deep into the development model that Vidya Vahini is developing currently, is currently under the process of creating. A model that allows you to measure your own growth. A model that allows you to measure your growth, measure the growth of your students from mere concept learners to become community leaders. A model that allows you to measure the growth of your teacher from just being a subject teacher to that of a guru. And your own school from being a school that is basic, that is merely practicing the components of Vidya Vahini to being a lighthouse school. We will be exploring this in depth tomorrow. And most importantly, we will be delving deep into the understanding of how every deliverable of Vidya Vahini is a scaffold for growth. How you can use the Vidya Vahini deliverables, the values of Vidya Vahini program for complete holistic development of the school. So we look forward, dear brothers and sisters, to meet you tomorrow at the Institute at 8:45. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Govinda bolo, शांति दाए सत्य साई बोलो शंकर सदा शिवा चंद्रशेखरा शंकर सदा शिवा
हरे स्वामी सत्य साई हरे भक्त भक्त जना संरक्षक पति महेश्वरा ओम जय जगदीश हरे श्री वदना श्री करा सर्वा प्राणपते स्वामी सर्वा प्राणपते आश्रित कल्पलदीगा आश्रित
जय